Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophets call out to the people, calling the people to faithfully follow God. The prophets do this often with loud and powerful language, with language that gets the attention of those who listen. Throughout the Old Testament and continuing on to the beginning of the Gospels with John the Baptist, the prophets call the people to repent, to return to the ways of God. The prophets afflict the people when they need to turn around, when they need to go in a new direction, when they need to return to faithfully following God's call. In our lesson this morning, the prophet Micah is doing just that. He's holding the people to account. Micah is telling the people, God has judged you and is finding you unfaithful. We heard in our lesson, hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. The Lord has a controversy with his people. God is not pleased with the people, for they have not been faithful. And Micah reminds the people that God has been faithful. God led them out of bondage in Egypt, led them to the promised land. God sent them faithful rulers and leaders, and God led them in times of difficulty. And yet the people have turned away. The rich are oppressing the poor. The powerful do not care for the vulnerable. They neglect the poor, the widows, and the orphans. Though the people offer sacrifices to God, they're not entirely what God wants. For the worship of God is the first act. What comes next is important, and that is the care of the vulnerable. So God is not pleased with the sacrifices the people are offering because the people are not living by justice. Micah says, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Worship of God should lead to action. It should lead to the doing of justice, the loving of kindness, to walking humbly with God. The people have failed to do this, and so Micah is calling them to account. Now, I've been struck by these words, particularly this week, and most especially in the last few days, as we have watched actions in Washington which ban Syrian refugees from coming to this country, a nation destroyed by war. As we have heard about people from 7 predominantly Muslim countries prohibited from entering the United States. And of course, we are a nation of immigrants. Like so many others, my family came here from other places, and not all that long ago, first from Canada, and then from places in Europe, from Scotland, Ireland, from France. But the reality is we have had a difficult relationship at times with immigration. In the late 19th century, Japanese and Chinese immigrants were barred from entering the U.S., and in yesterday's New York Times, there's an article tracing the history of those times when we as a nation have struggled around immigration. And it said this, and I quote, in 1924, In 1924, Congress created a comprehensive national origin system, skewing immigration quotas to benefit Western Europeans and to exclude most Eastern Europeans and almost all Asians and Africans. That was a time when only certain people were to be allowed in, and there were quotas, and they were strictly enforced. It seems we're entering another period like that, where we are unclear about immigration and who to let into this nation, except now the focus seems to be on those from predominantly Muslim countries and those who are coming from Latin America. So the question becomes for us, how do we do justice? How do we love kindness? How do we walk humbly with our God in this age? What is the prophet's call to us now, at this time and in this place? One answer to that question I saw was in the Providence Journal on Wednesday. The Reverend Donald Anderson, the executive minister of the Rhode Island State Councils of Churches, issued an emergency call for Rhode Island houses of worship to become sanctuary congregations, places where people would be safe. Anderson said this, and I quote, "We feel that there are people, and the Syrian refugees may be just the tip of the iceberg on this. There is a fear that there's going to be an attempt by the federal government to round people up. Should that happen, those people are going to need physical places of sanctuary where they can go and literally live until the danger passes. This is quite literally a call to congregations and individuals who are willing to be physical places of safety." That idea of the church as sanctuary goes back to the Middle Ages, to a time when people who were oppressed could find a safe place within a church building. The effort in Rhode Island that Anderson is proposing will require congregations to share their space for those who need, and for other congregations to support those congregations that do, offering them food and other supplies and the support needed to care for those housed within their buildings. While politicians have their own agendas and make decisions based on their beliefs or their political gain, we, however, are called to heed the prophets. We're called to live by the witness of Jesus. Though citizens of this country, we are called to be first citizens of heaven. And so the prophets and Jesus call us repeatedly throughout Scripture to welcome the stranger, to make room for the sojourner in our midst, to ultimately see all people as beloved children of God, and to not fall into the trap of fear and labeling other people as evil. We find this call summarized in our Gospel this morning in the Beatitudes, what is perhaps for some of you a very familiar, maybe beloved passage. And these Beatitudes express God's intention for the world, of the kingdom of God breaking into the here and to the now. These Beatitudes were practiced by Jesus in his earthly life and ministry, and the Beatitudes are now our call and our charge as followers of Jesus. Interestingly, this week Pope Francis was talking about the Beatitudes. He met a group who came on pilgrimage from Germany, a group of Roman Catholics and Lutherans, and he also called on the church to live by the Beatitudes. He, in fact, went so far as to say that if we didn't, we were not fully living as Christians. Pope Francis said this, "You cannot be a Christian without living like a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without practicing the Beatitudes. You cannot be a Christian without doing what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25. Now, Matthew 25 is that passage where Jesus calls on us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to visit those in prison. And when we do those things, we are doing them to Jesus. And so the Pope calls us to live by the Beatitudes, by Matthew 25, to welcome people, to care for them in the name of Jesus. And so the Beatitudes ultimately call us to care for those who are in need, for the vulnerable, for those who are loved by God. And it calls us to be peacemakers. It calls us to see times of difficulty and persecution as a holy reality, known by the prophets and the saints of old, known by people like John the Baptist, who gave his life for his witness. The Beatitudes call us to live the kingdom of God here and now, and to do so by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. On this day, we gather following this liturgy for our annual meeting, a time we give thanks to God for the many, many blessings we have been given, particularly for the blessings we were given in the previous year. It's a time to take stock of the opportunities for witness and ministry that we were given in 2016. My hope and prayer is that as we look forward to this coming year, we commit or maybe recommit ourselves to be a strong witness, that we might witness to those realities expressed in the Beatitudes, that we might minister to the most vulnerable, that we might act always with love, justice, and mercy, that those realities might prevail in our world. And so may we live the Beatitudes that Jesus has given us, that God's kingdom may be ushered in here and now, at this time, in this place, trusting and knowing that it is God who gives us the will and the strength to meet the challenges ahead. Amen.
Amen.